begin the English language transmission from Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Dear listeners, you're welcome to Voice of Korea. Today's programs will begin with the news. The news is followed by current affairs of South Korea in Spotlight. And then we present a third installment of Section 2, 21 of Chapter 12, to hasten the liberation of the country, from the reminiscences of the great leader Kim Il-sung with a century. And then an account, resolve made before the nation. Next an account, as a citadel and shield. And then Radio Magazine Review of Korea. And finally a regular program, South of Korea Alarm of Morning Calm. Now, here's the news. The great leader Kim Jong-il, General Secretary of the Workers' Party of Korea and Chairman of the National Defense Commission of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, appreciated the performance of the Mansubae-R troop. When he appeared in the auditorium of the theater, all the audience raised loud cheers and enthusiastically welcomed him, extending greatest honor and warmest thanks to him. The artists of the Mansubae-R troop awarded the Honorable Kim Il-sung Order, put on the stage choruses, "We live under the guidance of the leader forever," and praised the bustle of the general, female vocal ten and chorus, "Modern Hill," female solo, "Oh My Korea," dance, "The Blue Sky Over My Country," and the colorful items. After the performance was over, leader Kim Jong-il responded to the performers and audience, who raised the enthusiastic cheers again and congratulated the artists on their successful performance. Leader Kim Jong-il expressed great satisfaction over the wonderful performance of high ideological and artistic value given by the artists of the Mansubae-R troop in reflection of firm political principle and the aspirations and desire of the Korean people, and highly appreciated their successful performance. He gave thanks to all the creators and artists. He expressed the belief that the creating staff and artists of the Mansubae-R troop will in the future too carry on the traditions of the revolutionary art group and conduct dynamic art creation and activities, and thus forcefully encourage the Korean army and the people to struggle for accomplishing the cause of the building of a thriving nation. He put forward highly important tasks which would serve as a guideline in the art creation and activities. The great leader Kim Jong-il's famous work, "Let us reunify the country independently and peacefully through the great unity of the entire nation," was published in booklet at the Berlin Achari Publishing House of Germany on March the 27th. Egyptian and Pakistani newspapers recently featured the 17th anniversary of the great leader Kim Jong-il's election as chairman of the National Defense Commission of the DPRK and the 78th founding anniversary of the heroic Korean People's Army. The Egyptian newspaper Al-Masayya, in an article titled "Chairman of the National Defense Commission Kim Jong-il, an Invincible State," said, "Chairman of the National Defense Commission Kim Jong-il has consolidated rock firm the political and ideological position of the country under the banner of the Chuch idea and Songun idea in accordance with the demand of the developing reality." The Pakistani newspaper Balochistan Times carried an article titled, "Chairman of the National Defense Commission Kim Jong-il, an Invincible Korean People's Army." The article introduced the immortal Songun-based leadership exploits of respected Kim Jong-il, who has trained the Korean People's Army into an army strong in ideology and faith, and firmly prepared politically and ideologically and in military technique. The General Secretary of the National Guidance Council of the Pioneer Party of Indonesia recently made public a press statement on the occasion of the Day of the Sun, the birth anniversary of the great leader President Kim Il-sung, and the 17th anniversary of the great leader Kim Jong-il's election as chairman of the National Defense Commission of the DPRK. In the press statement, he spoke highly of His Excellency President Kim Il-sung as the great son of mankind, who rendered immortal services to the development of the friendly relations between Indonesia and Korea and the cause of global independence. He praised that His Excellency Kim Jong-il is a prominent leader who has wisely led the Korean people and turned Korea into a powerful political, ideological, and military power anyone dares not challenge. The French Intellectuals Study Association for Independent Development was recently formed in Paris. Present at the inaugural ceremony were academic personages of France. Chairman of the association was elected at the ceremony. At the ceremony, the chairman of the association said, the French Intellectuals Study Association for Independent Development has been formed for the purpose of inducing the intellectuals of France too to deeply study the Zhuqi idea and widely disseminate it among the people of both sections for the independence of Europe and furthermore, the independence of the whole world. A letter to the great leader Kim Jong-il was adopted at the ceremony. Kim Il-sung, president of the Proceeding of the Supreme People's Assembly of the DPRK, arrived in Banjul on April 1st for an official friendly visit to the Republic of Gambia. He was accompanied by Minister of Public Health Choe Chang-sik, Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs Kim Hyung-jun, Vice Minister of Foreign Trade Lee Myung-sun, and other suite members. Kim Il-sung and his party were greeted at the airport by Vice President of the Republic of Gambia, Ajia Isatu Unzia Saidi, ministers of the government, army commanders, personages concerned, Lee Kyung-sun, and the extraordinary and plenipotentiary of the DPRK to the Republic of Gambia and foreign diplomatic representatives in that country. The ceremony was held at the airport to welcome Kim Il-sung. Kim Il-sung made public a statement on his arrival. That day, a banquet was given in welcome of preceding President Kim Il-sung on an official friendly visit to the Republic of Gambia. Speaking at the banquet, Vice President Ajia Isatu Unzia Saidi said, great Korea achieved great successes despite the continued foreign interferences in the past and stressed that there were many things to learn from the development of the DPRK. He added that the Korean people with a strong will and bravery are exercising influence on the international arena. Presiding President Kim Il-sung, in his speech, expressed the belief that the recent visit would be an opportunity to give a fresh vigor to the development of the bilateral cooperative relations existing between the two countries. A performance of artists was given at the banquet. A national meeting was held at the Central Hall of Workers on Friday on the occasion of the 30th anniversary of the promulgation of the public health law provided by the great leader President Kim Il-sung. Present at the meeting were Choe Tae-bok, secretary of the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea, and officials concerned and exemplary public health officials. The participants listened to the recorded historic speech, Let Us Implement the Public Health Law to the Letter, made by President Kim Il-sung at the first session of the 6th Supreme People's Assembly of the DPRK on April 4, Suche 69 or 1980. In his report, Vice Premier of the Cabinet Oh Soo-young said, the great leader Kim Il-sung saw that the public health law of the DPRK was adopted at the first session of the 6th Supreme People's Assembly of the DPRK in April 2069 or 1980 and made public the famous book, Let Us Implement the Public Health Law to the Letter, which presented the tasks and ways for the implementation of the law. The reporter said the law embracing the popular public health policies of the Workers' Party of Korea and the state is a Zhuqi-spirited public health charter which guarantees by law all the principles and demands for freeing the working masses from fetters of all kinds of diseases once and for all and promoting their health. He said the great leader Kim Jong-il called the National Meeting of Public Health Workers in April 1974 or 1985 and sent the participants the historic letter on further improving and strengthening public health work, which clearly indicated the tasks and ways to further develop the public health work. The reporter stressed that great successes have been made in the public health work over the past 30 years under the wise leadership of the great leader President Kim Il-sung and respected Kim Jong-il, and the advantages and vitality of the public health law have been powerfully demonstrated. The sowing on rice seedling cultivars has begun in the cooperative farm fields across the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The agricultural workers in South and North Hwangju, South and North Pyongyang provinces are sowing on the rice seedling cultivars in a scientific and technical way, expanding their successes every day. On the threshold of the Day of the Sun, the greatest national holiday, women's union officials and members from different parts of the DPRK planted trees in the arboretum of the Kunsan Memorial Palace on the 2nd. They brought to the arboretum more than 18,000 trees of 20 tree species, over 140,000 flower fruits of 10 species, and tours. The coal industry and the Ministry of Electronic Industry overfulfilled their March plans in hot response to the joint editorial for this year and the joint calls of the Central Committee and the Central Military Commission of the Workers' Party of Korea for bringing about a great leap forward in different fields of the national economy. Thanks to the patriotic zeal and devoted efforts of the workers in the coal mines across the country, the Ministry of Coal Industry carried out its March plan of coal production. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Electronic Industry fulfilled its March and first quarterly plans at 114.3% and at 110% respectively. Cho Yun-hye, chairman of the Commonwealth of Independent States Regional Headquarters for the implementation of the June 15th Joint Declaration, made public a press statement on March the 31st under the title, "We can win victory when we struggle in unity." The statement stressed that in the coming elections to local autonomous bodies, the progressive forces of South Korea should unite and give a stern judgment to the conservative forces enforcing only anti-national, anti-reunification, and anti-popular misrule. The Youth and Students' Solidarity for the Implementation of the June 15th Joint Declaration in South Korea issued a resolution on March the 27th under the title, "Let's hasten the era of national prosperity by achieving peace and punishing dictatorship." The resolution criticized that the United States and anti-reunification forces desperately attempt to divide the Korean fellow countrymen forever despite ever-mounting national desire for peace and reunification. The South Korean Solidarity for Progress issued a statement on March the 30th under the title, "Stop Suppression of Reunification Activists." The statement announced that that day, the public security authorities ransacked the houses of former core members of the Solidarity for the Implementation of the South-North Joint Declaration and the representative of the Mirae Opera Troupe, its affiliated organization, all at once, on the suspicion of the violation of the national security law. It clearly shows the anti-reunification nature of the authorities to hinder the improvement of inter-Korean relations and reunification efforts of the nation, the statement added. Different civic and public organizations of South Korea held the inaugural ceremony of the Committee for Proof into the Truth behind the Ryongsan disasters in Seoul on March the 29th. Speakers at the ceremony said, "The All People Committee for Measures Against the Murder of Evacuees in Ryongsan, involving workers, peasants, religionists, and other people of various strata, would be enlarged and reorganized into the Committee for Proof into the Truth behind the Ryongsan disasters, for a wider-scale struggle for a proof into the truth behind the Ryongsan disasters, punishment of the chief murderers, and check of the redevelopment." They declared a restless struggle for a complete solution of the issue of the disasters. The South Korean Confederation of Trade Unions recently released a statement denouncing the puppet authorities for their despicable measures threatening the lives of the workers. The statement referred to a decision of the government to shift the responsibility for the management and control of the work for the protection of the lives of the workers onto local autonomous organizations within 1 year. The statement stressed that if the government does not apologize for it to the people, but ignores the lives and security of the workers, the Confederation will stage a more powerful anti-government struggle together with the people of different sections. The South Korean NBC, or Munhwa Broadcasting Corporation, on March the 29th, denounced the crimes of the puppet authorities who destroyed the public welfare and plunged the society into chaos with their anti-popular misrule, and stressed that the people should make an intermediate appraisal of the present arrogant regime in the elections to local autonomous bodies on June the 2nd. And that's the end of the news read by Kim Hyun-ok. This is Voice of Korea.
Current affairs of South Korea in Spotlight. What is notable in South Korea recently is that the South Korean puppets do not hesitate to make outbursts worsening the inter-Korean relations. Some time ago, the South Korean chief executive told the public military brasses about so-called provocations of the North and called for making full preparations to cope with it. The puppet Minister of National Defense, Kim Tae-yong, also let loose strings of provocative outbursts calling for preemptive attack on the DPRK and ordered the puppet army units to be thoroughly prepared for the possible contingency. Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade Lee Myung-hwan recently touring abroad viciously slammed the proposal of the DPRK to conclude a peace treaty for the solution of the nuclear issue of the Korean Peninsula, describing it as an alleged wrong way of approach and a measure to give up denuclearization. And he is distorting the situation as if the six-way talks are not resumed because of the DPRK. As you know, the danger of a war on the Korean Peninsula comes from South Korea, where different kinds of large-scale war exercises, including the Key Resolve and Four Eagle Joint Military Exercises, are ceaselessly conducted against the DPRK. Establishing a solid peace system on the Korean Peninsula is also an essential condition to solve the nuclear issue. Accordingly, the DPRK's proposal for a peace treaty enjoys support of the peace-loving people of the world as well as the entire Korean nation. Such reckless acts of the South Korean conservatives are intentional and premeditated provocations stemming from their criminal ambition to totally destroy the inter-Korean relations and hinder the process of establishing a peace system of the Korean Peninsula and, once an opportunity permits, to trade off a war against the North in collusion with the U.S. imperialists. What also merits attention in recent affairs of South Korea is the South Korean People's Denunciation of the United States as regards the disclosed order of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff to conduct experiments of germ warfare during the past Korean War. Some time ago, the South Korean internet radio Voice of People released a commentary denouncing the United States for its germ warfare experiments. The commentary said, as the order was recently disclosed, the truth behind the germ warfare of the United States was brought to broad daylight, saying many of the atrocities committed by the United States during the Korean War still remain unknown. The commentary stressed that no matter how hard the United States may try to conceal the truth, it will be exposed any time. Referring to the fact, the public comments that the anti-U.S. tendency of the South Korean people would further increase. What attracts attention in South Korea recently is the intensified struggle of the people against the present sycophantic and traitorous government against reunification. Some time ago, the South Headquarters of the Pan-National Alliance for Korea's Reunification issued a statement calling upon the entire Korean nation to turn out in the struggle to liquidate the sycophantic and traitorous forces. The statement said, when the Japanese Prime Minister said Tom Arlitz could not but be described as Takeshima in the primary and secondary school textbooks, the South Korean chief executive begged for a waiting and criticized that he revealed his true colors as traitor to the nation. South Korean students, too, recently staged a surprise demonstration before the Blue House and scattered a printed letter with articles denouncing the pro-Japanese traitor, chanting, "Outbursts on Tom Arlitz deserve impeachment," and "We want to ask him why he made traitorous outbursts on Tom Arlitz." In the meantime, the Solidarity for Progress and other civic and public organizations of South Korea recently held a press conference in Seoul calling for earlier resumption of tourism of Mount Kumkang. They warned that if the authorities obstruct cooperation while persisting in their hostile policy towards the DPRK, they cannot escape a trial of history. The Pusan Headquarters of the South Committee for the Implementation of the June 5th Joint Declaration in South Korea recently made public a statement and demanded the authorities have a clear understanding of the importance of the resumption of tourism of Mount Kumgang and come out to solve the issue at an early date. That's all for current affairs of South Korea in Spotlight. Please join us again this time next week. This is Voice of Korea.
Dear listeners, now is the time for broadcasting the reminiscences of the great leader President Kim Il Sung with the symmetry.
Thank you.
20 yen of Chapter 2 to hasten the liberation of the country. Han Kuo-bak joined as Kim Hong-bum, head of the political department of the 1st Division, who, wearing leggings and straw sandals, was walking ahead of us in the snow. "What do you feel now? Are you still afraid of him?" "No, I have nothing to fear. I feel strong by your side. It disgusts me to think of those years of the oppressive Nissan fuss." "It was literally a nightmare. The younger generation will bow to you for the mere visit you paid to the children, taking the hands with you. How noble and beautiful it is to love and sympathize with the children." When I said this, his strained look was relaxed and he strode along. I was tensely grateful to this stern, brusque and dignified man for his candid confession. It was typical of the diary entry of a literary young girl. The upright and pure character expressed in his words, behavior and kindness moved me to the heart. If anyone asks me when I'm most happy and joyful, I will respond, "Joyful and happy events occur every day in my life because I live optimistically all my life among people who are the most independent politically, most progressive ideologically, and most civilized and pure-hearted culturally and morally in a country which creates the most beautiful and ideal life in the world. Every day and hour of my life is full of joy and happiness. It gives me particular pleasure or happiness to be among the people, discover amongst them excellent people who can set an example for the whole country and debate the state of affairs, their living and our future. It also gives me greater happiness to be among the children we call the flower buds of the country. I can say that this is my lifelong view of the happiness." The talk with Park Yong-sun no doubt gave me such a satisfaction because of my view of happiness. Park Yong-sun was one such exemplary revolutionary and model conscientious man I discovered in life. His practice in subsequent years proved once again that he was a man of unusually strong revolutionary principles who never compromised with injustice and was fair and square in all his dealings. In 1959, Park toured different places in Northeast China, leading a group of visitors to the old battlefields of the anti-Japanese armed struggle. One hot summer night, his group lodged in the front room of a simple, cozy farmhouse. The farmers in the village papered walls of the room and spread new mats for the guests from the neighboring country who were continuing a laborious expeditionary tour every day following the footprints of their forerunners. At midnight, however, some group members who were sensitive to bed bugs left the room one after another with their beddings owing to the bed bugs and spent the night on a straw mat spread out in the yard. Park Yong-sun alone remained in the room all night. The group members considered that the headman was either an unusually sound sleeper or immune to blood-sucking. Next morning, he grouped all the members and criticized them severely. "You expeditionary group representatives of one country have slept on the straw mat in the open air like a vagrant tribe, unable to endure the pestering of dead bugs. Don't you realize that you have rejected the hospitality of these village people who bothered to provide us with good lodging? Haven't you any sense of honor or patience to endure such inconveniences? If you disgrace our delegation again, I will send you back to the homeland, as I deem it a serious offense." Only then did the group members realize that this upright and taciturn man, a veteran of guerrilla war, had remained in the room despite the pestering bed bugs because he could not afford to abuse the host's hospitality. I subsequently heard this anecdote from the group members. On our arrival at the secret camp, the children crowded out of the log cabin, vying with one another, shouting, "General!" The voices of the children, ringing like a silver bell under the sky of the secret camp, evoked strong emotions in my body and soul. I hurried to them. They were the children I came to see. They were the children who followed the Revolutionary Army to this place, treading the thorny path across the steep mountains, deep forests, and small fields, determined to avenge the enemy for killing their parents and brothers by beating, bayoneting, and burning them. They were the children who had awaited us in sorrow through the winter in this merciless, desolate mountain, in a prison without a wire fence, falsely accused of relations with the Mason gun. The national chauvinists and left opportunists, who had become used to putting the slogans of ultra-revolutionary principle and class spirit above the interests of the people, mocking and maltreating the masses, turned their faces away from the children, claiming that they were a burden of the Revolutionary Army. Afraid that the location of the secret camp would be exposed to the enemy if the children resided nearby, they built a small kingdom for their self-protection and were living in seclusion in a deep forest. And they forbade the children from approaching edges of the forest. These stepfathers had not given them even a handful of grain or a piece of cloth, although they knew full well that the children were living on grass roots, shivering with cold in the severe winter cold. Even the children's sympathizers, as well as the individuals who dressed their wounds with ointment and bandaged them, blew warm breath on their frozen cheeks and hands, petted them with affection, and cried with the children when they were crying, had been registered on the list of Mason suspects and persecuted. That was the third installment of Section 2, 20M of Chapter 12, To Hasten the Liberation of the Country, from the reminiscences of the great leader President Kim Il-sung with the century. This is Voice of Korea. We now present an account under the title, Resolve Made Before the Nation. January 1925, when Korea was under the Japanese imperialist colonial rule, young President Kim Il-sung, who was studying at Changduk School, not far from his birthplace, Mangyongdae, heard the sad news that his father, Kim Jong-sik, had been arrested again by the Japanese imperialist police. He left Mangyongdae on January the 22nd that year and reached the Pokyong Ferry on February the 3rd. The Pokyong Ferry is on the bank of the river Amnok in today's Kimhyung County, Ryanggang Province, in the northern part of Korea, bordered by Northeast China. Standing in cold wind on the border between the two countries, he was lost in a deep thought, looking back at the mountains of the country, groaning under the jet boots of the Japanese imperialist rule. He picked up a pebble. He wanted to keep it as a valuable memento of the homeland. He slowly walked towards the opposite side of the river, quietly singing the song of the river Amno. Blue waters of the Amno, my homeland. Wait the day I return to you. I trust to attain our dearest wish. I will return when we have fun. Receiving mountains of the homeland over and again with sorrow and indignation. Looking back upon the day later, President Kim Il-sung said, I crossed the river Amno when I was 13, finally determined not to return before Korea became independent.
Young as I was, I cannot repress my sorrow as I sang the song of River Anno written by Simon and wondered when I would be able to tread this land again, when I would return to this land where I had grown up and where they were our forefathers' graves. I will not return before Korea will become independent. Indeed, the resolve he made crossing Pokyong Ferry on the historic day was a firm resolve to liberate Korea from the Japanese imperialists at any cost, and a grim resolve made before the motherland and nation. True to the resolve of the day, great President Kim Il-sung waged a 20-year-long anti-Japanese revolutionary struggle and finally accomplished the historic course of national liberation. You've been listening to an account under the title, Resolve Made Before the Nation. This is Voice of Korea.
The anti-Japanese war heroine Kim Jong-suk always played the role of citadel and shield in defending the safety of great President Kim Il-sung in the dangerous battles during the anti-Japanese armed struggle. As a citadel and shield. One day in March 1940, President Kim Il-sung, who was the commander of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army, leading the anti-Japanese guerrilla army, started a march for advance into the Musan area in the northern part of Korea. A punitive unit of the Japanese imperialists stubbornly pursued the marchers. It was impossible to continue the march with the enemy in pursuit. So men of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army started a battle to sweep the enemy under the command of President Kim Il-sung. At the time, a group of the enemy soldiers began to creep towards the headquarters. Watching around with vigilant eyes, as she had always done in all battles under the command of President Kim Il-sung during the anti-Japanese struggle, Kim Jong-suk found them out before others. Her only thought was that she should not allow even a bullet to fly towards the headquarters. Sung Eun-ju, lecturer of the Korean Revolution Museum, says,
그날 김정숙 동지께서는 단 한 명의 적도 위대한 수령님께서 계시는 사령부에 접근하게서는 안 된다는 단호한 결심을 내리시고 단신으로...
That day, Kim Jong-suk began to lure the enemy single-handedly with a firm resolve that she cannot let even an enemy go near the headquarters with the great leader Kim Il-sung. Far from the headquarters, she shot the enemy soldiers correctly. The enemy's fire was concentrated on her. She correctly shot the enemy more fiercely behind a thick tree.
When the anti-Japanese guerrillas heard the gun report from the ridge in the opposite direction of the distant headquarters and came running there, the battle had already ended. The enamel wear on the knapsack of Kim Jong-suk on her back had two holes pierced by bullets. Those holes had been made by enemy bullets when she was luring the enemy soldiers. Seeing the holes, the anti-Japanese guerrillas imagined what a dangerous moment she had. But she did not mind it, but felt a relief with the thought that the commander was out of danger. The meaningful enamel ware of that day is carefully preserved at the Korean Revolution Museum, impressively telling the visitors about the transparent spirit of resolute defense of the leader she had during the hard-fought anti-Japanese armed struggle. Account as a citadel and shield. This is Voice of Korea.
Radio magazine, Vivid of Korea. April 15th this year is the significant 98th birth anniversary of great President Kim Il-sung, the founder of Socialist Korea. His birthplace is Manjung-dae in Pyongyang. Mandungge is a very picturesque place in southwest Pyongyang. Today's radio magazine, River of Korea, introduces the time-honored favorite place, Mandungge. Firstly, Mandungge Revolution Museum. Secondly, President Kim Il-sung's old home at Mandungge. And lastly, S3 at Mandungge. First, we tell you about the Mandungge Revolution Museum. The Mandungge Revolution Museum displays precious mementos and materials showing the brilliant exploits of struggle of President Kim Il-sung and his family members in Mandungge. The museum has six rooms. Seen in the first room is a plaster sculpture of President Kim Il-sung receiving patriotic education from his father in his childhood. Displayed in the rooms of the museum are the materials on the exploits of struggle of the outstanding leader of the anti-apartheid National Liberation Movement of Korea, Kim Hyung-sik, father of President Kim Il-sung, and his revolutionary family members in Mandungge. Also on display there are materials on President Kim Il-sung in his childhood, who grew up as an ardent patriot and great revolutionary. Exhibited in room 6 are materials on President Kim Il-sung, who accomplished the historic cause of national liberation and after returning home in triumph, called at his old home 20 years after departure and met his family members, and materials on respected Kim Jong-il, admirably carrying forward the revolutionary cause of President Kim Il-sung. Next, we introduce President Kim Il-sung's old home at Mandungge. A simple straw-settled house is standing a little distance from the Mandungge Revolution Museum. It is the old home at Mandungge where President Kim Il-sung was born and spent his childhood. The inner house of the old home faces its outhouse. The inner house has a kitchen and three rooms, and the outhouse has three small barns. Preserved there are precious relics showing the life of President Kim Il-sung's family members who devoted themselves to the country and people generation after generation. Seen in one corner of the yard is a misshapen jar showing the poor life of the family. President Kim Il-sung was born in such an old home and grew up taking over the patriotic traditions of the Mandungge family. He left his old home at Mandungge in 1925 to liberate the country. 20 years later, in 1945, he accomplished the historic cause of national liberation and visited his old home again and had an emotion-charged meeting with his grandparents. Lastly, we tell you about an S3 at Mandungge. There was a tall ash tree before the old home of President Kim Il-sung at Mandungge. In his childhood, President Kim Il-sung climbed up the tree to catch a rainbow, fostering a great ambition. At that time, he cherished the great ambition to build a paradise as beautiful as the rainbow in the fatherland after Korea was independent in the future. Later, when President Kim Il-sung was waging the anti-Japanese revolutionary struggle and dealing an annihilating blow at the Japanese imperialists, the enemy watched the home and questioned the passers-by and acted violently under the shade of the tree almost every day. Unable to repress his surging indignation, one day his eldest uncle cut the tree with an axe. Growing there is an ash tree planted again in 1962. Like this, Mandungge is a sacred place of Korea, showing the greatness of President Kim Il-sung. Today, Mandungge is ceaselessly visited by not only the Korean people, but also peoples of many countries. That's all for today's radio magazine, Review of Korea. This is Voice of Korea. Voice of Korea, a land of morning calm. Okay, now it's time for our regular program, Songs of Kaweah, A Land of Morning Calm. This time we present songs about the initial exploits performed under the Song and Dance leadership of respectively Kim Jong-il. First, we present a female solo and chorus, My Country of Sun Kun. protect the male chorus, tell of the footsteps of General Sungun Best Gardens forever. listeners, you've been appreciating Songs of Korea, A Land of Morning Calm. Mm. Please join us this time next week. This is Voice of Korea.
Dear listeners, with this, we conclude English Language Service of Voice of Korea from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Voice of Korea presents its English Language Service for Europe between 13 and 14 hours UTC, between 15 and 16 hours UTC, between 18 and 19 hours UTC, and between 21 and 22 hours UTC on 13,760 kHz and 15,245 kHz. For North America, between 13 and 14 hours UTC, and between 15 and 16 hours UTC, on 9,335 kHz and 11,710 kHz. And for Northeast Asia, between 1 and 2 hours UTC, and between 3 and 4 hours UTC, on 7,200 kHz, 9,345 kHz, and 9,730 kHz. Goodbye, this is Pyongyang.